Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly. This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes!
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The crowd was singing high.
Yo, it is another edition of the Hops Podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. Fritzy.
Yes.
Hey, pal.
Hey.
How you doing over there?
I actually can't believe this is real, to be completely honest with you.
It is unbelievable.
Yeah. So obviously we'll get into the positives and the negatives of what transpired yesterday for sure. But it's one of those times where you just hate how much you love the baseball team. Because what happened yesterday was the equivalent, I think, of getting in the red zone. I would say within the 5-yard line. No, maybe 10-yard line. Mm-hmm. And on first down, decide to kick a field goal. Like that's what I felt like.
It's a great analogy. What a wonderful, really well done.
Thank you.
Good work by you.
Thank you. Because I was sitting there all day yesterday as I slowly delved into insanity, waiting to see if there was I kept saying to myself, there's no freaking way in the year 2026 where defense has never been more important in baseball than they are really going to go with this whole thing for Luis Arraez, who on the surface I'm excited for. I can't wait to have him in the lineup. I wanted him as a trade idea. I thought if they got him, it meant the 6'5 slap hitter would be out of here. But no, he is inevitable. He is going to be here for the rest of my life. And he will never, ever, ever go away, no matter how invaluable he becomes. And hearing Dave Dombrowski talk about, and he has to say it because he's still here, but citing the RBIs and citing how, like, hey, you know, one of our scouts made a good point. It's like, hey, when you watch him every day, you can see the warts, but, you know, if he stack his numbers up against everyone else, he's not that bad. Phooey.
He is. The numbers are bad. He's like 156 out of 160 on Fangraph's war. Like, whether you like war or not, like, he's been horrendous. Like, of first baseman, I think there are 28 qualified first basemen as of right now. Kyle Manzardo has the lowest OPS, like 687.
Yeah.
Bob's way lower. He's like 640 or whatever. Like, the numbers are horrible.
Well, so tell me if this is a bad. And my good pal Bob Wankel sent me this yesterday.
I love Bobby.
He said, here's how the Phillies' new first baseman would rank among the other 29 qualified first basemen this season. He would be 26th in average. He would be 29th in OBP. He would be 27th in slug. He would be 29th in OPS. And he'd be 29 in weighted runs created plus. Does that sound bad? And to couple that with, he has become a good defensive third baseman.
For solid, some reason, if nothing else, yeah, solid.
For some reason, I feel like the analytics they're not positive on his defense. When I watch him every night, maybe he doesn't have like the best range in the world, but he is definitely a good third baseman.
He's solid.
For some reason, he's bad at first base. Like, it doesn't translate over there. Like, he looks way more upright,
uncomfortable.
And,
yeah,
yeah, he just doesn't look the part. So it was a very exciting morning. It was like, okay, here goes Dave. Like, there's Dave. But once again, for another deadline passes where they get close, but they just don't do it. They get right there where it's like, if you make one more move, you could, you're giving yourself a better chance to win. But no, they traded arguably their best pitching prospect. You know, if you want to still count Painter as a part of that, and Gage and Marquez, I think are equal, if not whatever. You traded that for a half season of Luis Arraez, and I'm very excited about Killian, which we will get to. But a half season of Luis Arraez to create this whole jumbled mess on your defense, and you didn't even put the finishing move out there, because as Jason Stark said, and I don't know
oh,
how,
buddy, I
you, they I, ran out of time. They ran out of time.
It's the most infuriating thing that happened was seeing that freaking Jason Stark tweet. And by the way, shout out to Jason Stark, was dead on. I told you about his tweet before and saying Ramon Marquez most likely Philly to get traded. You're like, please no. Turned out Stark was all over the whole thing. But yeah, I saw that tweet and it infuriated me because, Jack, I was on the air when they made the two trades with three players. Like, it was like 9:45. The morning show was still happening. He had over 8 hours left in the day, not even to mention the days leading up. Like, guess what? The trade deadline is the deadline. You have all the time before it. It's not like the day of is the only day you can make trades. It was insane. I can't believe that was something that was put out there, that they ran out of time. And it was even more infuriating. And by the way, shout out to our own guy, Jack Fritz, who literally predicted the two things that Dave Dombrowski would say. Oh, we really liked what we saw at Andrew Painter. That allowed us not to make the move for the Fisher. We really liked what we saw at a BLD or BDLC. And went so far as to say he's earned the opportunity with what? 15 at bats as a Philly? What are we freaking talking about here? It's so crazy. Like, Dave Dombrowski, it's like, I honestly never want to hear him speak again. Can we just give Preston the job now? I'm so tired of this. Like, and to your point, like, they half-assed it. They basically, it feels like they made moves to say, hey, Bryce, hey, team, we made some moves, but didn't go close enough to like, making enough moves. Like, honestly, I am so with you. Like, both things can be true. I can really like Luis Arraez and want him to be a Philly and think it's a bad trade because they gave up too much for a half a season when you didn't do enough all around the team. Like, if you're going to make the Arraez trade, you have to make more moves. You have to combine them. Like, they have to be part of a whole thing. And instead, you half-assed it. You're not good enough to beat the Dodgers. You're not good enough to beat the Brewers. The Cubs and Padres both had better days than you yesterday. Like, it's so frustrating. It is infuriating that it feels like the approach, the process that this team takes. And look, we saw in the offseason, the Bo Bichette thing. Like, that was such bad process. The whole Bo Bichette thing. The thinking you're getting and putting it out there, getting screwed by the Mets, then going back and falling back on the thing you didn't want to do anyway. Like, they made it clear they didn't want Alec Boehm on this team in the offseason. And now he's like we have to accommodate him and move him to first base so he's still a major part of this freaking lineup. And look, on top of that, like, Luis Arraez wanted to play second base. Like, good for him. You're playing first, dude. Like, I can't believe they're getting worse at every position, Jack. They got worse at every. Bryson Stott, elite second baseman. Well, he's got 12 games at third. Let's see what the hell happens. And that's the best of the moves in terms of defensively. Like, Arraez worse than Stott at second. Boehm significantly potentially worse than Harper at first. And Harper worse than whoever he's going to replace in right field. By the way, the Bryce Harper thing, he has not played right field since 2021. He was 28 years old. He was 28. He's 33 with back problems and TJ surgery a few years ago. Like, this is crazy. This whole thing is so poorly orchestrated. Like, it just, and look, we'll get to, because to Jack's point, they said at the beginning, like, the Phillies as a baseball team today are better than they were yesterday with the addition of the two relievers and Arraez. But it just feels like, it feels like they half-assed it. You know, it feels like they did a little bit to kind of say we did something, but didn't. And one more thing, Jack, and then back to you. Like, the part that makes it so frustrating for me, and again, I'm not a prospect expert or anything, but it seems like a lot of these trades, Taylor Ward being the like a number one, were makeable trades for the Phillies. They wouldn't have had to give up Gage Wood to get Taylor Ward or a similar type guy. I don't understand what they were doing, what they were thinking, what they did for the rest of the day. Like, none of it makes any sense to me.
Well, they certainly seem obsessed with getting another starter, which, okay.
Then get one. Then get one. So many got traded.
And getting a starter, I understand getting a starter. I don't understand that that this is the move that we're putting Bryce back in the outfield for.
Yeah, versus, totally agree.
Versus just trading or cutting Alec Bohm.
Or in the offseason signing Alonso or doing this or doing that. Like, they had a million options in front of them. If they were going to consider this, the whole thing was they weren't moving Harper. And now they're doing it for this to move everyone else also. It just seems like, again, such bad process.
Yeah, well, nothing with the Phillies feels strategic. Yeah. That is one of the things that's really starting to, you know, hit home with me, is that it never feels like they almost wait thing for things to fall in their lap rather than being aggressive. And that's been one of my issues with the offseason the last 2.5 years, is if you want to trade Bohm, you clearly want to trade Bohm, then just suck it up. Like, suck it up and move him off the team and find some solution. But there is a culture of fear at Citizens Bank Park. Inside those walls, there is a culture of fear, and not fear from the standpoint of like there's a big bully running up and down the hallways, a fear of the unknown. That's why Dave Dombrowski is getting a contract extension. He's getting extension.
Oh my God.
Contract extension because they're too afraid of what else could happen. The Klentak thing probably is still scarring them from the standpoint of, I don't know if I can trust another young guy again, because the young guy we had in here wasn't ready for the job and couldn't build a winner. At least with Dave, there's a sense of security because he's been in baseball for forever. And it was not tweeted out by Uram, but I watched the video. Dave Uram, our own Dave Uram, the Bulldog. Follow him on Twitter.
Bulldog BD.
At Mr. Uram, always at every event, he's insane, and I love
and
that.
A real informational follow on Twitter. Like, he will give you information. You might not get a lot of laughs, but you're going to get information from Dave Uram.
Exactly. So follow Dave. But I watched the video he uploaded to our Google Drive, and at the end, he said something along the lines of, you know, people forget, like, the 1968 Tigers moved to shortstop midseason. 1968? What are we doing?
Is Denny McClain coming out the bullpen door? What are we talking about here?
1968? We got to go back to the 60s? The game's changed, Dave. Oh, goodness. But I just think there's a culture of fear.
1968 is unbelievable.
There's a culture of fear down there. Like, we don't know what the alternative could be for Alec Bohm. So we're just going to keep bringing him back. And there's just no creativity, nothing bold, nothing that's interesting. I mean, some of the moves, it's funny. The under the radar moves yesterday to me are way more interesting than
the Killian move is fascinating. I mean, that guy with 5 years of control and, you know, outside of, I think it's like he's had a couple bad outings and otherwise he's been pretty great this year. It's a fact. Like, I'm with you. That's a fascinating move, but
I'm pretty Colby Thomas'd up. I'm going to be honest with you.
Well, sure. Yeah. And they got rid of Seth Johnson, which is all we needed. And as for, I like Colby Thomas was good. Was he like the third prospect last year? He's just having a bad year. I like that move too.
Heading into the year, he's their third ranked prospect. So he seems to strike out all the time, but hey,
fit him perfectly.
Given what this team has done with Derek Hill, who's our new hero and savior, you know, maybe they can find and unlock a different version of Colby Thomas. And I don't know if it wasn't reported anywhere, but Don Mattingly did try to resign yesterday once he saw the news that Seth Johnson was on the move.
Does he know how to manage without Seth on the team? Can he function?
And sources inside the dugout last night that suggest he kept going to Cotham and saying, "Where's Seth? Can we warm up Seth?" And Caleb was like, "Sure, we're gonna warm him up. Wink, wink. We're gonna warm him up." And then, bang! There's Kirkering. You know, so he was trying to find a way to get Seth Johnson in the game yesterday. And Don Mattingly is all of a sudden becoming a front runner for the A's job if they do move on from Mark Kotze, just so that he can go out there and find a way to get Seth Johnson in some A's games. Anyway. Like, that is my the overall feel is they're too afraid to take certain risks because of the fear of the unknown. And it's so, and I hate when Elliot does it, but it's so un-Eagles like, where
you're right. No, you're right.
Where the Eagles, they operate in risk taking. Like they'll continue to take risks because the payoff generally, I mean, Howie had some quote on his whiteboard. I forget what it was.
Yeah, but
it was
I know what you're talking about. I can't place, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Like something along the lines of you'll never be great if you don't take risks or something. And I just think that this team is more content making the playoffs than they are winning the World Series. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I think okay. So, so the famous Howie Roseman quote on his whiteboard is: "To win a Super Bowl, you either need the best player, or to make a decision that could cost you your job." You know, and that's right. That's what he's saying. Howie's, you know, you have to be. And the line Howie always had after he came back from 2015 to 2016, and was it, he always was like, you know, you can't be afraid of failure if you've already died. You know, that was his whole thing. It's like, I already died in this job and now I'm back and I'm going to take risks and look how well it's worked. And I'm with you. It feels like, and I think the offseason is a perfect example of it with the Bichette stuff, you know, like this, we're going to do this thing. And then when it falls through, it's like, you just go back, you revert back to the thing you didn't want. Like you made it clear by going after Bichette that you didn't want that. And instead, you know, you're like, well, let's just go back to the same old, there's no other plan. There's never another risk. And again, your point, it doesn't feel like there is a real strategy, a long-term plan, that the moves are for a particular reason. Again, the way the day played out yesterday is nonsensical. To make those trades at 10 o'clock and then do nothing else for the rest of the day makes no sense.
Well, especially when like Joe Adell went for some catching prospect, like,
and Taylor Ward, all these guys went for way less than we would have thought.
It felt like the only overpays or proper pay yesterday was Marquez and the Cubs giving up their second ranked prospect, number 63 overall, for Clay Holmes and Tyrone Taylor. That felt like the only time where it was, wow, that's a pretty hefty package. Everything.
Good job, Dave.
Like Foster Griffin went for four random ass prospects.
Yeah, it's
so
crazy. Why weren't you in on these things, man?
So I think the one thing that may have happened yesterday, and this might be a hand up, a little hand up might have been wrong on this is, and Dave talked about it a little bit that he's like, it didn't seem like people wanted our prospects, which was, not great to hear from the general manager. I also think they got a little screwed because Nori's been hurt, who's one of their better prospects, and Aiden's obviously hurt. He's one of the better prospects. So like teams weren't lining up to trade for those guys. Whereas maybe if they were playing and healthy, they could have been used as trade chips. And Arun's having a down year, at Reading. So like those guys, that could have been used in deals to facilitate them. Now I'm surprised the teams weren't interested in a Brian Rincon type, but like what could have happened is that the Phillies were offering some of their guys and teams were like, well, I can go elsewhere and get, better prices. And the Phillies did not want to trade like Ramon Marquez and a Gage Wood to get a deal done, or Ramon and Painter to get a deal done. And they didn't have enough of the middle guys to kind of get stuff done. So that's probably the reality of what happened yesterday. But I just, when you sit here and you feel like they got close, but not close enough, and you kind of have a feeling as to how the season's going to play out, they're going to make the playoffs and it's probably going to end earlier than we would like. And, all this for Luis Arraez.
No, and then Arraez, obviously if they sign him, you feel a little bit better about it. But even then, it's not like, he's going to be a 30-year-old, 800 OPS guy. And he's a valuable player, but he is not, people are talking about like they got Juan Soto today or something like that. Oh, my God. I've heard multiple people say we got the best hitter in baseball. It's like, the best average hitter. Like, it is a different thing. And he's a good fit for this team. They need a guy like that. We know
I like changing the chemistry on offense.
He's better. He's better. The Phillies are better with him. And I'm happy he's a Philly. I just don't understand the plan, the strategy, the whole process of yesterday. It just makes no sense to me. It doesn't. One thing doesn't add up with the other. And look, we know, can the Phillies win the World Series? Yes, they can. Like if 2022 happened, they were an 87 win team who was playing their worst baseball really of the season heading into the last few games of the season. And they got hot and turned it on and went on a run. Like, it is possible, But yesterday was supposed to be a day where the Phillies made it, where they increased their likelihood of winning the World Series. And I think when you look at what the Dodgers did, what the Padres did, what the Cubs did, what all these other teams that they're competing with did, and obviously the Brewers didn't add that much, but the Brewers were already out in front of them and did get Dusty May and JoJo. I think that, you know, I feel worse about their chances to win the World Series after yesterday. And that's crazy because they went out and got a rise, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Who is Yohopi Segura? You know, they haven't had a guy.
Segura plus.
Yeah, I mean, Segura by the end, you know, he wasn't hitting 324.
Yeah, you hope it's early career Segura, you know?
Yeah, which I am glad they have a hitter like that in the lineup. It's just
it'll be a lot more fun to watch. That's for sure.
If you could have ended yesterday and if you could have gone the Arise deal, he plays second, you have stopped playing third, you leave Harper at first, you ship Bohm out in some deal, maybe to the Angels for Joe Adell or the Orioles for Ward, and then you have him in right field. It just the whole, I think we're coming in here today saying
we're fired up.
They got a chance. But you kind of sit here and you kind of say, I don't know. It's way more of a hope and a prayer. And it was so predictable.
Again, Jack, like, I don't know that everyone listening now tuned in for our podcast. Was it yesterday and whatever it was when we did the preview pod or Sunday, whatever it was? Like, you literally predicted exactly what he was going to say. You were like, I better not be sitting here hearing Dave Dombrowski say Andrew Painter's performance gave us hope and blah, blah, blah. Brian Dela Cruz is our right field bat. He's earned it. Like, you literally said those things, Jack. And then he came out and said them. Like, it was crazy.
We all went through the Tyler Phillips 24 experience.
I know. But you called it, man. And that's what's so frustrating is we all went through that. And so did Dave. And yet he still did it again, you know?
Well, yeah. And, you know, listening to this, the lovable reunion, the Cubs podcast where they're bringing all the old Cubs players back and having them on. Oh, it's cool. Yeah, it's cool. I would love to win a World Series and then 10 years later have
it would be a glorious thing. We would do that. I hope yes. You do that. I'm just letting you know. We'd love to. It'd be a treat.
But, you know, Theo is on there and he was just talking about how if you're building a team that you think is a 95 win team or 100 win team, the thing you have to do is you have to make sure you have your bases covered in case like injuries happen or whatnot. And it feels like they've left themselves so thin here.
Oh yeah.
To where if things falter, let's say Brian Dela Cruz turns back into Brian Dela Cruz, then
who was a minor leaguer 2 weeks ago.
Brian Dela Cruz wasn't an option until 2 weeks ago. Now obviously him being up here, what took so long? But Gabriel Rinconis has been up here for a month and has contributed almost nothing besides the Royals game and the Marlins game. But you know, it just feels like they've
27 plate appearances, by the way, for Dela Cruz.
For Dela Cruz, yes.
And I guess
yes.
Four of them were last night. So it only took the Phillies 23 plate appearances to decide he earned it.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure that's going to definitely end well. So
seriously, though, 23 plate appearances. Dave Dombrowski said he's earned it. That was a thing that was said by our president of baseball operations yesterday, by a guy who said 23 at-bats at that point with the Phillies. He earned it.
Yeah. So we'll see. I'm certainly not super fired up about Bryce being back in right field. I think it's
I hate it.
I don't know how he's gonna move out there. I mean, he's been playing first base.
Five
I don't know how
years, man. And by the way, just to put the I think there's a misconception that Bryce was like a great right fielder. People were saying on the radio and stuff like that. He was average as a right fielder, you know, average.
He has a good arm. He has a good arm. That's about it. That's about it.
Yeah. And again, that, the back thing, the Tommy John, it's just a real risk with a guy who's still here for six more years or whatever. And, you know, his body is important. real quick, because I do want to get to Killian and Raleigh, and shout out to Derek Hill for the grand slam last night. We probably won't get into that game too much, but
imagine it was trending towards.
I thought about it, dude.
It was trending towards dead deadline, a 3-0 loss, and Nola was fine, but you know, Nola allowing some home runs early and then settling it was setting up for a all-time, oh my gosh, you have kind of a a disappointing-ish type deadline, and then just a horrible effort at home against a Nationals team that sold a couple of their high quality players.
Thank God for that Nationals bullpen. Honestly, the Phillies might not be a playoff team if it weren't for the Nationals bullpen right now.
They're playing
some big games this year. All right, one more thing, and then I want to get to Raleigh and Killian and your thoughts on those guys, but the Trey of it all, because obviously, I think anyone who's watched the Phillies this year knows that moving Trey, like, he can't possibly be worse in the outfield than he's been at short. Maybe he could be. Maybe he could be just as bad. But, he has been such a deficiency. And I'm not saying that moving him to the outfield in season is 100% the right move. I know that's not, like, an easy thing. He hasn't played it since, 2018 or something like that. But what I am saying, Jack, is for the Phillies not even to consider it, not even to talk to him about it, according to Don Mattingly, they didn't think about it. They didn't have a conversation about it. It was never on the table. And instead, you're moving your 33-year-old back to right field. Like, I'm not saying, Nate, that I don't understand that it's a hard thing to move a shortstop to the outfield who hasn't played it in 6 years or whatever all this. I get that. Okay, 7 years, whatever. But not having a conversation about it, Jack, not even like internally considering it. I thought Mattingly's comments yesterday were like, I almost heard bat bleep. Like, I couldn't believe it.
Well, it doesn't benefit them to come out and say that they had discussions.
You're right. No, that's
so. I don't think, I think they came out like, yeah, we really were considering it. I think Trey would be like, hold on, So I think we just have to accept that. In the offseason, they will have the conversation.
Yeah, I think
they want to give him every opportunity to look closer to that. Because pulling that plug, it's not like he's going back to shortstop. He's got 7 years left on this deal. Like, he's got seven and a half, whatever. Like, he's got a long time left on this deal. When you do it, it's a pretty permanent move. And I'm not even sure if I want him in center field. I don't know.
No, I was actually thinking left, honestly. I'd probably prefer
him in left.
Yeah, just I think because left. I don't know why people keep saying center. I think left makes so much more sense. Yeah.
I don't need a 33-year-old guy that depends on his legs running around galloping through center field.
I don't disagree with that. It's more that not necessarily the result of him staying it short. It's that it seems like the team is afraid to approach Trey Turner about moving positions. It seems like they are very against that. And I think that concerns me,
Well, they cater to all the star players. And
that's my point. I know, but Trey Turner is not a star player anymore. I'm sorry. Like, I know he makes star money. You have to start treating Trey Turner like the player that he is, which is a below average baseball player for you.
He's heating up in the dish. Okay. He's heating up the dish. We need him to get going a little bit. So,
well, that's true. Yes.
Not everyone can be as selfless and team centered as Bryce.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
I want to make sure people
heard a lot of crap. I'm just saying.
Yeah. He has heard a lot of crap. The discussion about Bryce.
Was that a shot right at Spike? Was that like a direct shot at Spike on that one?
Oh yeah, probably. Yeah, probably.
I mean, listens,
And the minions out there. I just the Bryce discourse in this city has reached, I think, moronic levels mostly. Yep. I think it has reached a point where it doesn't need to be completely honest with you. So I hope that there is a selfless recognition of Bryce when he goes out to right field tonight. And do you think he's gonna bring back the bat?
I was gonna ask you, dude. I think he does, right? It was his thing.
I know. I hope so. We'll see. It'll be interesting having him back out there and then watching him run and saying, oh, he's not as fast as he was 5 years ago. So I don't know.
It's just a wild one. All right, let's get to Killian and Raleigh. Brooks Raleigh, at least I got a perfect deadline name in there. Give me Brooks Raleigh. It's a win. What'd you make of both those? I guess the Brooks Raleigh deal itself, we already know what we make of Marquez going, but Killian, like we mentioned before, a really interesting, like, the profile is super interesting for Killian, especially the 5 years of control. You mentioned the bold thing yesterday. Dombrowski himself mentioned it after you said that. No big deal to you. But really, I think I saw Ryan Spader tweet out that It was two bad outings. I think 1.1 innings where he got shelled and blown saves. Otherwise, I think it's a 43 innings, a 1.88 ERA in all his other work this year. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you like to hear.
Speaking of things that I said that other people may have taken, did the camera say on the morning show or with you anything about him being Segura-like or no?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He said
not
that.
Today, but yesterday.
Yes.
Yesterday.
No, today he said it, not yesterday.
Cool. Yeah. Right. He was listening. Anyway, so.
I did think when he said it, I was like, yeah, it's a good call. I was like, yeah, you're right. That's the last Philly. It was kind of like that. Yeah.
So,
that makes so much sense.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
So, yeah, Killian, I went back and watched a couple of his full outings rather than just trying to, because, of course, first thing you do is go on Savant. You see a lot of red. A lot of red on the baseball Savant. But sometimes it can be misleading with pitching. And, you know, you got to go and really study the film. And in actually watching him, it was a tight game. I mean, it was a 2-2 game in the eighth out in San Diego on the 1st of August. So what was that, Friday night?
Saturday,
whatever. He was pretty impressive. It was 98. He seemed to command it really well up in the zone. I don't think he's going to throw that knuckle curveball here. If I was Caleb Cotham, I think Caleb Cotham is a sweeper guy, so he's going to teach Killian a sweeper. He will 100%. That would be one of his pitches. But, you know, for fastball ride up in the zone, I thought he had good ride to it. I thought he had pretty good command. He wasn't all over the place. So that was interesting. His K rate has jumped from, I think, 12% last year or 15% last year to 28%, which is good. He was a former top-ish pitching prospect. He was actually in the Chris Bryant trade all the way back in the day. Cubs Giants one. So. Mm-hmm. And in watching him, I really think that there is a clear path to a pretty easy splitter. I mean, just looking at his, I do think everyone could learn a splitter. I feel like every pitcher, I'm like, well, there's a path to a splitter. I do think there is a path to a splitter for him that would really, really be beneficial against left-handed pitchers or left-handed hitters. He's got a little natural four-seam cut on that fastball at 98. So I'm for 5 years of control left, they may have just bought another guy that could be a back end option and kind of supplant. I mean, him and Kirkering will probably battle it out, and Bolin feels like the eighth inning guy. You know, there's still questions, certainly, about getting the ball to Duran. And I don't think they were answered yesterday, but I think they took a couple interesting, like, if you were like, so it's almost like a buy low, and almost like if we were a small market team, it would be like, hell yeah, we got this guy, we're gonna turn him into something. Like, if I was a small market team, the Colby Thomas trade and getting Killian is freak out worthy, emergency pod worthy. Like, this is awesome, but we're not in that.
We're trying to win the World Series, and the Pirates are out there trading for Luke Weaver. I'm like, guys,
well, Luke Weaver, Duvall, and someone else.
I know. Yeah, Duvall's been awesome for the Yankees. Why'd they trade him?
Duvall's been horrible for the Yankees.
I thought he'd been good this year.
No, Duvall's been horrendous.
That's why they traded him. I was thinking of someone else.
They basically gave him away. Bednar's been really good.
Yeah, that's why Bednar's been really good for them. Yeah, I must have been thinking Bednar. I thought I had some.
So Killian's really, really interesting. And Raley, I mean, I feel like we've been talking about Brooks Raley for 4 or 5 years, and him finally being a Philly is perfect.
He's only 1,000 years old, so it's good.
Yeah, he's only 37.
He's 38, isn't he?
Well, hey, we got someone close to Seltzer's age, and that's a win. That's a win for everyone involved.
Thank God. We got LeBron. We got him. This is a beautiful thing for me.
Spikerman's an interesting little prospect. He's probably not going to hit enough, but he's, you know, PCA level in the outfield. And then I do feel bad for Luke Gabrysch. I like him. I like him a decent amount. He's probably a reliever, but he's a St. Joe's kid that was close to the Bedlam at the Bank home run by Bryce. So he's a.
I remember when they took him and you talked about that. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's a big Phils guy now, having to go and be with the Mets.
Tough.
But and the Mets have a good pitching development. I think they'll get something out of him. I think he's a major leaguer, but I don't think he's a starter. I think he is a reliever for Brooks Raley, who they could probably resign if they want, because he's pretty good. And sure. And you know, just looking at the bullpen now, you go from Backes, who somehow has had three straight scoreless outings, even though I feel like it's been second and third no outs each time. I know last night wasn't, but I feel like there's been a lot of traffic on the base paths. But going from Backes to that with Raley, Meza goes into the Backes role, which is fine. And then whatever Alvarado, it gives you good insurance if he's not truly back, but I think he is more back than not. So Alvarado, Raley, you feel pretty good about. And the right-handed options, it was good to see Kirkering have that outing last night in a tight game. I'm not going to sit here and say, I refuse to believe in the Kirkering thing. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I need him to do it in the playoffs for me to actually be there.
But, you know, Bolin and Killian and him, I mean, there should be enough there to where you can get the ball to Duran on a more consistent basis. I mean, that was Duran's first save last night since like the middle of July.
Was it like, really?
He,
wow.
He has not had many. I think it might have been July 11th.
Wow.
I mean, he hasn't had a save opportunity. Well, he has had a save opportunity.
He had the blown one, yeah.
He hasn't saved the game in forever. So
wow, not the craziest stat from yesterday's win. The craziest one was it was the first win in a game not started by Sanchez, Wheeler, or Lizardo since June 21st, I think, or June 24th or
June
something.
24th.
Like that. June 24th, yeah. That's pretty nuts.
Well, it's nuts, but it also pales in comparison to not winning a fifth starter game since May 18th.
Sure. Yes. Yeah, you're right. That's true.
Yeah. Good. Only this
the one
team
keeps going, which is good. You know, so it's good. Yeah.
Only this team, pal. Only this team. I do hope. Listen, my optimistic sense is that Andrew Painter actually has found something, and he can be viable down the stretch run. But my only fear with that too is, I mean, this is his first time pitching. Now he's pitched 100 innings, but he hasn't had a break. I mean, they've staggered his starts in AAA. He's going to be expected to pitch down the stretch run of you trying to run down the Braves in the division and also make the postseason. I mean, if he gets tired or gets worn out a little bit, all of a sudden you're back to Alan Rangel, who Dave Dombrowski did say yesterday. He said, listen, teams call us on Alan Rangel all the time, you know,
and trade him.
Yeah. So they might have to do a thing where if a Walker Buehler type becomes available.
Great.
Not him. I'm talking about like, you know.
I know what you mean.
My response holds.
Yeah.
I might sign someone to just get through the rest of the season. But here's hoping. And certainly a positive start for Andrew Painter against the O's. And, you know, no pressure, kid, but we need you.
No pressure. All right. I don't know if you have any take bag in you.
I do.
Okay, good. We'll get to take back in a sec. Shout out to the Horse Tavern and Grill. Today's show is sponsored by Miller Lite and the Horse Tavern and Grill. Check out the Horse Tavern and Grill in Sellersville for every Phillies game and enjoy $3.50 Miller Lite pints long with their legendary half-pound burgers and famous short rib fries. That sounds awesome. Miller Lite for Phil's wins. Celebrate responsibly. All right, Fritzy.
So it's pretty crazy, and I'm not saying the A's are good and he wouldn't be doing this in a normal circumstance. And his numbers are pretty horrendous. It's just wild that Colby Thomas was hitting cleanup for them a week ago. And now
was he really? Wow.
Yeah. I watched one of the games and he had two hits in the game. So that's why I watched it. And one was off Peyton Tolley, which is a good sign.
Okay.
I think he seems to hit lefties pretty well, but it was just jarring that a guy who was legitimately hitting fourth and they trade him for Seth Johnson. It was funny seeing some of the A's reporters talking about Seth Johnson. They were like, you know, he's 98 to 100 with a pretty wipeout slider. An interesting buy low candidate here. I'm like,
Yeah, sure.
And listen, maybe being out in Sacramento and not in the pressure cooker that is Philadelphia will be good for Seth. But getting a guy back that, and it's not like the A's prospects are unbelievable. You know, once Kurtz and Wilson kind of graduate, there's not, DeVries wasn't there yet, but he, he's the third ranked prospect behind those guys. So that's encouraging. And he seems to have a lot of pop. And hopefully the Phillies can kind of tap into him making more contact. But it's for Seth Johnson, it's certainly a pretty low risk and semi good reward if they can get something out of Colby Thomas.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. Like I saw that trade, and obviously I think we all were like, thank God Seth Johnson's gone, so Don Mattingly can't use him. We're protecting Don from himself. But I when I read up on Colby and saw that he was the third prospect, saw the numbers, I was like, this makes sense. I think this is a smart play. Yeah.
Yeah. They did a couple smart moves in there. Just again, whatever. We've talked about it.
We don't need to belabor it. Yeah.
They had some smart moves that are exciting. It's like the Chassé trade with Seth, and getting Seth
great,
Johnson.
Yeah. And again, that's the funny part. And you led with it. Like, we have often talked about how fun it would be to have Luis Arraez on the Phillies.
Yes.
Like, we're cool with that. Like, I'm excited he's a Philly. It's just so wild the way it all played out. You know?
I know. And Ramon's not here anymore. So he's going to be great in that ballpark. He's going to be great in that ballpark one day. We shall see. We shall see. I know we talked about it in like a mocking way earlier, but Brian De La Cruz has been good. He has been good.
I like Brian De La Cruz as like what they did with him, bring him to the minors, bring him up. Like, I think I liked it from the beginning. I always like, oh, that guy's got a little pop, this and that. And I like him. I don't like Dave Dombrowski saying to us, he's earned it of 23 at bats, and that's our move for a right hand at bat. That's what I don't like, but I agree. It's not BDLC's fault.
What if he's worth? Talented guy that, you know, just needed a fresh start. The city energizes him up a little bit. Come on, man.
Yeah. I mean, what if Derek Hill and BDLC are the two right handed bats we needed all along? Who knew?
I know. Derek Hill. Also, there's a big push to play Derek Hill every day. Another thing that's not happening. You gotta learn to accept things. He's not playing every day. I think he would get exposed if he played every day. Let him do what he's doing. And you have a 22-year-old center field prospect, even though you question how much of a center fielder he is, that you need to give runway here because you hope that he is a big part of your future. I will also say that I don't think he runs down that ball in the eighth last night. I don't think Crawford gets it.
What do you mean you don't think? There's no chance he gets it. He doesn't have the right read off the bat. Like, there's no way.
It's so funny how he's so fast, but it's almost like not impactful speed.
Yeah. And it's not instinctual speed. It feels like, you know, it's not like it doesn't feel like he's ever running the right way immediately, you know?
Yeah. The other issue is he's fast, but he's also super long levered. So he's not quick.
Yeah, you're right.
If that makes any sense.
No, it is. Yeah.
So Crawford and Hill, center field, Marsh and BDLC, Harper and Wright. Let's go win the World Series.
I did like your big home run from my right fielder tweet last night. That was strong work.
Thank you. He is my right fielder. My selfless.
Yeah, he's back. Yeah.
My selfless leader right fielder.
I think that's the real takeaway. Is everyone knows Bryson Abolgi. Yeah, not this pod, but everyone else does.
113 miles per hour off the bat, that home run.
Also, we might have to rescind our apology to Dave Dombrowski from our original pod when they hired him to the apology we made after. Like, we might be, the original pod's looking better and better. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I might be turning this whole thing right around. Hey, all right, so we've had a pretty negative podcast.
Yes, we can bring some positivity. Yep.
I'm asking for permission for something that I thought this morning. And I said, this is really sick, but it's also like,
you have permission. It's all you. Let's go.
Dude, this farm system by next trade deadline. now that they kept everyone besides Ramon.
That's good. I like a lot of pieces.
I'm just saying. Yeah. It might have stuff to work with. Stuff to work with heading to the next deadline. Yeah, teams will be lining up for some of these pieces next year, pal. Next year's the year if we have baseball.
Yeah, it's going to be a real wild trade deadline next year. No one's playing.
Dude, I try not to think about no baseball next year.
I can't.
Really not, really, really not because Not because of the Phillies, really, to be completely honest with you. It's more because of the draft and I want to consume minor league baseball content. It's not the Phillies. It's really just it's everything else that goes with it. Because again, the best part of being a sports fan is not winning championships. The best part of being a sports fan is having hope. And that's all minor league baseball and the drafts are.
That's a good one. I like that. Look at you. You've been so romantic the last couple pods.
Yeah. Well, listen, I got a lot of time.
I feel like that's usually my job. I'm usually the romantic one. I like this.
Well, you are the emotional one. I'll say that.
Sure am. There is no question of the two of us. That's for damn sure. not even close. Yeah.
It's highly emotional. Yeah, the swings. Yeah. The swings of
emotion. I am who I am. I acknowledge it. Yeah. All right. We got anything else?
We don't have anything else.
Okay, but
can't wait for that lineup to be posted tonight.
Yeah, well, that'll be fun. Plus, we do have something else because a week from Thursday, so it is Tuesday, August 4th, a week from Thursday, August 13th, we will be at La Scala's Fire in the Northeast for the Field of Dreams game. It's going to be, that's a super fun, neat thing, and we can watch Luis Arraez spray the ball all over the Field of Dreams field. That'll be fun. Maybe see Brooks Raley come in and get out a tough Twins lefty if they have any of those. That'll be fun. So coming out with us, we're going to do baseball movie trivia. You can win Phillies tickets. It's going to be awesome. So that is next Thursday, the 13th at La Scala Fire in the Northeast. All right, Fritzy.
Has been. What's your prediction for the lineup tonight?
I think Arraez leads off and Turner is two, Harper three, Schwarber four. I know you don't love that, and I'm not saying I love it, but I think that's what it'll be. I don't think they're going to go the three lefties in a row.
Yeah, probably not. I would like to see Turner. I would like to see Turner four.
Oh, I like that. See, I mean, then they'd have to do the lefties in a row.
I know. I'll go Arraez, Schwarber, Harper, Turner. What I am open to, if Schwarber continues to struggle, which I am worried about, because
Schwarber is the biggest thing we haven't talked about that I'm worried about. Again, I said it last pod. He has had three home runs since July 1st. Three.
And I mean the Gallup piece, I think it was Gallup and Charlotte Barnes. They both wrote about Schwarber and how he's changed his pregame routine where he's not hitting on the field as a preventative measure. And then Schwarber's like, I promise I'm not hurt. I'm like, well, it sounds like you're at least a little concerned. So the Schwarber, if he continues to struggle, I'm fine if they go, Arraez, Turner, Harper, Schwarber. But I also want Schwarber to get more at bats.
I get it.
So, we will see. But the Schwarber thing, I think, is a situation worth monitoring. Definitely worth monitoring.
I agree. It's my biggest concern right now, probably. All right. We'll be back later in the week.
Friday, probably.
Maybe. So I can maybe do Friday. We're going to figure it out. We'll make it happen one way or another. Until then, use words themselves.